This morning, I want to talk to you about a subject that we don't talk about very often. And I got you nervous now, Donna. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. I want to talk to you about heaven. 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 I heard, this is probably not a true story, but I heard that a guy named Leslie Watkins died and went to heaven. It's probably not true. I'm just going to say, all right. If you don't know Leslie, sitting right here, I'm not going to point at him, but he's right there. He stood in front of St. Peter at the pearly gates, and he saw a huge wall of clocks behind St. Peter. And he said, "What are all those clocks?" And St. Peter said, "Well, those are sin clocks. And everyone on earth has a sin clock. And every time we sin, the hands of the clock move a little bit." And he said, "Oh, man, whose clock is that?" And St. Peter said, "Well, that's Mother Teresa's. It's never moved. She's never sinned. She never messed up." He said, "Well, what about that one?" And St. Peter said, "Well, that's Abraham Lincoln's clock, and it's only moved a couple of ticks. You know, he was very honest, and he did a lot of good stuff." And so Leslie said, "Well, where is my clock?" And he said, "Well, we got it in Jesus's office using it for a ceiling fan." All right. I'm just saying, this is the kind of church you're in this morning, all right? We all know what, there's a million heaven jokes, and we could talk about it all day, and I love to laugh. One of the things that is so important that I think we're missing in the modern church world is talk about heaven. Well, when I was a kid growing up, and I'm not that old, just for anybody who's wondering, a few years back, heaven was a big deal in every sermon. I mean, every sermon was going to be about heaven or hell, one or the other. And I remember being scared to death sometimes when I would leave church. Like, you know, they would say things like, "If you die on your way home from church today, where will you wake up?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but I'm going to try to make sure. We can figure something out here." It was scary. And listen, those questions are still very real questions. We don't talk about them very often, but they're very real. As a matter of fact, even our music, the music that we sang in church was heaven-oriented. We sang songs about heaven. We sang songs like Blessed Assurance. Now, I don't expect anybody in the room to know that except a few old people, so don't laugh. All right? It goes like this: Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's referring to heaven. Listen to this one. This is another verse. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. It's a picture of heaven. Now that's a very poetic picture of heaven. And then there was an old song we used to sing, "When We All Get to Heaven." See, some of you know that one. That's one of them songs that got some teeth. Look it up later. It said, "Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place." It was talking about heaven. It was referring to when Jesus told his disciples, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you can be also." He'd said those words to his disciples a long time ago, and he's been preparing this place. Another verse of that song says, the chorus says, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." It's about heaven. Listen to this. "I dreamed of a city," this is another old song, "I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried holy, and the angels, they all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and oh, what sights I did see. But I said, I want to see Jesus, for he's the one who died for all." Listen, when you and I realize that there is more to life than this life, it changes the way we live. It changes the way we approach things. There's a song that's got terrible theology in it, but it says, "Build, Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Now, that's not even biblical. The Bible says he's going to give you a mansion, and this guy's asking for a cabin. Come on, man. Get your deserve level up a little bit. But here's the deal. He's just saying, look, I just want to be in heaven. If I'm the last guy in, as long as I get in, I'm okay. Heaven is important. The scripture is full of passages pointing us toward heaven. This is not the end. If you don't get everything you want in this life, who cares? Because he is preparing heaven for you and me. Now listen, I cannot talk about heaven in a way that is worthy of heaven. I wish I had the language to describe it and talk about it. I don't. But the Bible tells us that heaven is this real place. It's not just an idea. It's not just a thought. It's not just a concept that we engage in at a funeral when somebody dies. We like to send everybody to heaven, right? No matter if they knew Jesus or not. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible's very clear that his children are the ones that are going. The ones who have accepted him, the ones who have put their faith in Christ, those are the ones going to heaven, not because they've earned it or deserve it, but because of what Jesus did for us. All we had to do was accept it. So why should we talk about heaven? I think we ought to be talking about heaven a lot more than we do. We talk about our problems on earth, and we talk about getting through, and we talk about improving, and we talk all these things, and those are necessary, and that's all biblical. But I think if we handled our problems in light of heaven, it changes the way we handle our problems. If we remember, there's more to this. You see, the people who wrote those old hymns that I just read you the verses on, they were going through struggles. They were watching people die daily. They couldn't go to the hospital. They weren't praying for God, give me better health care. They were praying, God, heal me or take me to heaven. There was something very real about it. There was a survival aspect to it that they knew they weren't going to live very long. Many of these hymns were written when life expectancy was under 50 years old. Listen, I'm at that age right now where it's like life is just starting at 50, all right? But back then, they were like, this is not going to last very long. I mean, this is a short ride, and you're going to be off. You're going to go. You're going to have to figure something out. And they talked about it, and they sang about it. They didn't just say, make life better here on earth. They were talking to God. When we all get to heaven, when I walk through those gates, They were describing it and rejoicing about it, preaching about it, talking about it together, because their hope was in heaven, not on earth. This is important. If you don't get anything else we say today, get this. Our hope cannot be found in things that are temporary. Your hope cannot be found in your job. Your hope cannot be found in your bank account. Your hope cannot be found in your good health. Now, we all want those things. That's not where our hope is. Because all that ends. When a rich guy dies, you know what? He dies broke. And everybody else around him is like, thank God he finally kicked the bucket. He's gone. Now we can enjoy it. You're leaving it all behind. You can gather, you can accumulate the most toys, but when you die, somebody else gets to play with them. So our hope cannot be in temporary things. Our hope has to be in eternal things. Like, I'm going somewhere. There's something happening that's bigger than what I can see. And so why should we talk about heaven? I want to share four things with you this morning. Here's number one. The Bible calls us to talk about heaven. This is important. The Bible tells us to talk about heaven. Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. This is important now. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Most of us, our vision is kind of down here. We accept Christ and we're thinking about what he's going to do for us right here and right now. And he wants to do that. The Bible calls it life and life more abundantly. He wants to do things in our life right now. But he said, I want you to set your sights on reality, the realities of heaven. It's bigger than earth. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that's going to be hard, and don't answer it out loud. Do you spend more time thinking about the things of heaven or the things of earth? Listen, we all got the same answer. We all got the same answer. We're thinking about what have I got to do tomorrow. We're thinking about to-do lists, and we're thinking about problems and issues, and all that's important. The Bible tells us to occupy till he comes. Stay busy. Take care of your responsibilities every day. We're supposed to handle things right here and now. But he said, I want your focus to be a little higher than what you can see. I want you to focus on heaven. I want you to make sure that this is important to you. Christians are, it's been said sometimes, Christians are too heavenly minded. But if we really take this to our heart, you can't be too heavenly minded. C.S. Lewis said it this way. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for their present world were just those who thought the most about the next world. He's saying the people who accomplished the most for Christ here were thinking about heaven. They weren't thinking about here and now. I do have a fear that Christians, that we are too earthly minded and we're not thinking about heaven enough. Why do we talk about heaven? Because the Bible tells us to focus there. Here's the second thing. We're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. You might be a citizen of the United States. You might be a citizen of another country. But your real citizenship, the one that supersedes all those temporary citizenships, is still in heaven. It doesn't matter where you grew up or where you die. If your citizenship is in the right place, then you're okay. Watch what Philippians says. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Are you eagerly awaiting for Jesus to return? Are we just waiting for him to come back? Or are we just good right here? We're just going to stay right here. See, our citizenship's in a different place. The Bible teaches us that we receive our citizenship when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives. We're now part of heaven. You got your passport now. When you accept Christ, you got your documentation. You're a citizen of heaven. If your citizenship is in heaven, you look different and act different and you are different and you think different here on earth. You and I are not supposed to feel at home in this world. Let me stay here for just a minute. You and I are not supposed to feel at home here and now in this world. This is not your home. You ever spend the night at somebody else's home and they're so nice to you and you're just like, oh, this is great, thank you. But secretly when you go to the bedroom, you say to your spouse, I'm ready to go home. Why? Because this is not home. It's great, but it's not home. Home, it's my bed. You can go on vacation for a week and you're thinking, I just want to get back to my bed. I just want to go home. We have a tendency to get excited about the wrong things and to focus on the wrong things. We get excited about stuff that God does here and now, and we should. It's okay to be excited about what God's doing in our lives right now. But watch what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. He sent out 72 people to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him. They're excited. 72 of them show back up. They want to talk to Jesus. They're excited and they say, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. He's like, I'm the man. That's what they were saying to Jesus. When I tell those demons that I'm serving you, they run. They don't have a chance against us, Lord. And they were excited about it. But watch in verse 18. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He said, I was here when we threw Satan out of heaven a long time ago. I know you got power over evil. Verse 19, look, Jesus said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Now, this is important. Oh, God blessed me. God did this. God did that. That's wonderful. I got the job we were praying for. Praise the Lord. We're going to keep praying for the next job, and we're going to pray for finance. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to pray for all that. But he said, look, don't let that be your focus. There's something way bigger than this. There's something way bigger. Right now, you're in a temporary job. You got temporary money. You got temporary health. But he said, I want you to focus on what is eternal. Your names are registered in heaven. Let's unpack this for a second. When you give your heart to Christ, the Bible says they write your name down in heaven. There's five people this morning. Your names, you're some of the latest on the list. All right? Amen? I don't know how long the list is, but I'm glad I'm on the list. He said, this is the most important thing. Jesus said to them after they'd gone out and done all these amazing things, look, that's great, but don't rejoice about that. Rejoice that your name is written in the right place. Here's the third reason we talk about heaven. Earth is only a pit stop. We're just sliding in here for a little bit, and we're going to be gone. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. Look what he says. Life is short. I have been a part of, had the privilege, the honor of being a part of so many funerals over the years. And it's always difficult for family and friends. And if somebody passes away young, we say things like, isn't that a shame? And if somebody passes away at a ripe old age, we say, it passed so quickly. Either way, it's fleeting. Either way, it ends. There's an end to what's happening. Look at James chapter 4. How do you know what your life will be tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. You ever walk out and it's foggy outside? You're like, man, it's going to be a foggy day. You walk back in, you get your coffee, you walk out to work and it's completely gone. You're like, well, there's not even any fog left. It got burned off. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. Life is short, man. Psalm 103, our days on earth are like grass. How many of you got green grass in your yard right now? None of you. Don't even act like it. Don't even act like it. You've been watering. You've been breaking the rules in Irving. All right. I'm teasing. Our days on earth are like grass. It's just brown and dead. It's going to die. Even if you keep it alive till November, it's still going to die. Like wildflowers, we bloom and die. Texas wildflowers are beautiful. We love it. We make a deal out of it at our house every year. We take pictures and all this stuff, and then you go out 3 days later, and every one of them are gone. You're like, what in the world happened? They're all gone. We're like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows, and we're gone as though we had never been here. Ooh. Come on now. You got to stay with me. Don't get depressed. This is good. He said, you're going to be gone, and it's like you were never here. They're going to forget about us when we're gone. That's what it says. They're going to forget about you. Jesus put a post-it note in heaven with your name on it. You're registered up there. You're just passing through here, but you got a home there. This is important. Life is going to be short. The Bible says it this way. There's pleasure in sin. We like to stop there, right? There's pleasure in sin. He said there's pleasure in sin for a season. It all ends at some point. The whole thing. But if we surrender our lives to Christ, then we can look forward to heaven. I think we need to be talking about heaven more. The writer of Hebrews said it like this in Hebrews 13. For this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. It's not our permanent home. We often treat it this way, but we need to be looking forward to heaven. So I want to ask you this question. Are you looking forward to heaven? Do we recognize two questions? Do we recognize that our life is short here on earth? And secondly, are we making plans for heaven? Are we making plans? And then here's the fourth thing. The reason we ought to talk about heaven, it gives us hope. Because this world is never going to be perfect. Are you like me and you're just like, if we can get this 2-3 things worked out, life is going to be good. And you get the first thing worked out and you're like, we're going to be coasting after we get number 3 finished. You get number 2 finished and you're about to get number 3 off the list, and then 4 more things show up and you're like, oh man, I thought it was going to be easier after this. We're on earth. It's not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be easier. You and I would never think about heaven if it was easy here. He said, it gives us hope. Romans chapter 8. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. That word glory is just the unspoken manifestation of God. That's a fancy way of saying you'll be in God's real presence. It'll be like something you've never experienced before. No matter what you're going through now, the glory of heaven is waiting for us if we choose it. When we're weighed down with the burdens of life, we can remember that although there may be an end on earth, there's a beginning in heaven. Whatever we suffer here, heaven is waiting. Words cannot describe the glory of God that we're talking about. What if we talked about heaven more often? What if we were a bit more excited about where we're going to spend eternity? Why only talk about heaven at funerals? Heaven's the most exciting thing that we have to look forward to. Heaven's a real place. It's not just a figure of speech. It's not just clouds and angels and harps, all right? That's the movie version. The Bible tells us there's streets and there's water and there's homes and there's food, and heaven is described as a city. It's a place where God will dwell and where we will be in his presence, and you won't have to believe any longer by faith because you'll see it. You'll be there to experience it. It's a place where the will of God is done perfectly. Where the will of God, here's what Jesus said. When he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this. God, let this be done. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's done perfectly in heaven. It's never going to be done perfectly here on earth. Heaven is the place that Jesus prepared for us. He's still preparing it, the Bible teaches us. Matthew 25 says this, then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. It's a place where there will be no more tears. Can somebody say amen to that one? Amen. No more tears. Revelation 21 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. That's what the Bible says heaven is. We won't be sad in heaven. We won't be depressed in heaven. We won't have any illness in heaven. You'll have a perfect body in heaven. Come on. If you don't like what you see in the mirror now, you need to work on heaven even harder. 2 Corinthians 5, listen to what it says. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we'll have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. You won't need medication, you won't need pills, and you won't need to go to the gym. Come on, somebody. Amen? No wonder heaven is so hard to believe. No wonder we sometimes forget that this is so important. Billy Graham one time said, someday you'll read or you'll hear that Billy Graham is dead. He said, don't believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am right now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. And then he said this, are you ready for it? He said, look, I'm not afraid of heaven. Billy Graham spent his entire life telling people how to get to heaven. And I want to tell you very quickly how to get to heaven this morning. We say it every Sunday around here. It's as easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you've sinned. Come on. Everybody in the room, everybody online, everybody we know has messed up, sinned, failed, dropped the ball. We need to own it and understand it. Admit that we've sinned. Believe in Jesus. We put our faith in him, not in us. If you don't know Jesus right now, you've been putting your faith in yourself all this time. But believing says, I'm tired of believing in me. I'm not enough. I can't get it done. I'm going to put my faith in Christ. And then C is confess him as Lord of our life and just start walking with him. Confess. You see, it's not about what you've accomplished or what you can do. It's not about those things. It's very simple. It's about what he already did, and he's preparing the place, and all we have to do is trust in him and walk with him, and he will take us on this journey. 2 Timothy says this, and we're closing. I have fought the good fight. This is Paul saying to young Timothy. He's coming to the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now, the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've remained faithful, and the prize awaits me. Paul said these words. He said, I'm caught in a conundrum. He said, in the King James, he said, I'm caught in a strait betwixt. He said, it'd be good for me to stay here with you because you need me, but I really just want to go to heaven. What if we lived our life like that, where we were caught in a strait betwixt? Like, I know I need to be here because there are people that need me, and I want to be here for that. Man, I just want heaven. I just want to be with him. I just want to be in his presence. If we truly believe that heaven and hell are real places, it makes decisions about our life right here and right now so much easier. If your value is, I'm getting to heaven and I'm getting everybody I know to heaven with me, it changes the way we live our life. So if we're caught up in fear and worry and doubt, come on to the piano, somebody. If you're caught up in fear and worry and doubt and hoping that circumstances on earth will change, and we're going to pray for those circumstances to change. We're praying for those to change. And God tells us they change. And he works in our circumstances. But the focus can't be there. The focus has to be heaven. Because no matter how good it is, think of every rich, healthy, good-looking person you know. They're going to be dead just like you and me. Then what happens? Then what happens? I want you to stand with me. I'm caught in a strait betwixt. I need to be here for some folks that need me. But I'm so looking forward to heaven. What if we lived our life this way? I want to be here, but I really want to be there. My citizenship is there. What if we just lived our lives saying, I just want to go home. I want to go home. My citizenship is there, not here. Jesus didn't die so we could just have a better life right now. It's so much bigger than that. Jesus didn't have to die to make our lives better right here and now. Before Jesus died on the cross, he was healing the sick and raising the dead, and blind eyes were open and lame legs were walking, and he was making people's life better without his death and without his resurrection. But he was concerned about heaven. He's concerned about eternity. He wants us to have a relationship with him that is eternal. He's concerned about here and now. But his focus is heaven for you and me. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know him today. I want you to know him today. If you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, I want you to pray for them today. I want you to live in front of them what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ, so that they see in you and me the hope of glory, that they see in you and me something that is eternal. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We just got to be focused. We got to focus on Him, and He will help us with our failures and inconsistencies, and He will forgive us, and He will cleanse us, and He will help us. But there are people everywhere who need Jesus. And I want to challenge us as a church. If you know somebody who doesn't know Jesus, let's get after them. Let's go get them. If I believe heaven is real and I believe hell is real, I have no choice but to live my life as an example of Christ, trying to win the world to Jesus. And it starts in my house and my neighborhood and my city and my work. It starts right here. Who has God placed in your life right now that you want to see go to heaven later? Start praying for them. I guarantee you, if you start praying for them, God will start opening opportunities for you to share with them. I guarantee you start praying for them, God will open the door. Oh, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but you just stay faithful. Invite them to church. Just mow their grass, their dead, ugly grass. Just mow it. Just serve them. And they will eventually want to know what's going on in you that's not going on in me. If you don't know Jesus, we have to admit that we've sinned. We got to believe in Jesus, and we got to confess Him as Lord. Father, we thank You today. Thank You, Lord, that this world is not the focus for us. This world is not our focus. This world is not even our home. Lord, watching the news is uncomfortable, and watching social media is uncomfortable, and it's because it's not our home, Lord. We're out of place here. We're out of place. This is not where You have created us to spend our eternity. You have so much more in store. And God, we're just asking You today to help us get our focus right. Lord, help us to make sure our focus is on eternal things, not stuff that's going to end. God, we thank You right now. And we give You praise. I know we're over a little bit this morning. I want you to do something for me if you would. Just reach over, touch somebody on the shoulder right now if you're comfortable doing that. I want you to pray for them right now. Father, Lord, we pray one for another. Lord, we pray that our focus would be on heaven. God, we would make sure that every day of our lives we get the focus right. And Lord, let us value the things that You value, and help us to care about the people around us, and help us to point them to You. Lord, we ask You, God, to use us for Your glory. God, we can't do this on our own. We need Your help, and we pray for it. And we thank You, God, for what's coming. God, we give You our family that doesn't know You, Lord. Our family that is away from You, we give them to You. We pray for them today, God. Our friends, our neighbors, God, we give them to You, and we pray that You would help us to live our lives in front of them in a way that would make them desire heaven like we desire heaven. God, that we would allow You to do in us, that we would allow You to work in us, that we would be pliable in Your hands and our focus would be eternal. God, we thank You. We honor You right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Before we leave, just look at two people. Just say the word heaven. 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 I love Texas, but it ain't heaven. Come on now. I bet you it's not 108 degrees in heaven today. I'll tell you that much. Let's make sure we keep our focus right. Father, bless us as we go and have Your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.